Washington Week, news and analysis. I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. All week long, the performance was entitled The President Fights for His Administration's Credibility, and the reviews were mixed. Some in the long parade of Republican Senate and House members who met with Mr. Nixon to hear his Watergate defense went in unconvinced and came out the same way. Representative Paul McCloskey of California.
I'm just saddened by it all because I think the president still does not realize that there's an expectation and a duty on his part to make a full disclosure.
From some others, Mr. Nixon heard some blunt face-to-face advice. Senator Edward Brooke of Massachusetts.
I suggested, as I've said before, resignation. He was very gracious. He said he understood that my statement was not made with malice. He understood it, the reasoning that I gave for it. But he thought that that would be the easy way out. He was not going to accept that suggestion.
And Senator Charles Mathias of Maryland.
We urged him to have that kind of openness and to drop the restraint and the defensiveness and the belligerence, which has, I think, set so many people against him.
Others were encouraged, like Representative Joseph Marazziti of New Jersey.
I think as the information goes out to the public, and if he continues to speak to the public the way he spoke to us, I do think it will restore the credibility of the president.
Encouraged to some extent, Representative John Anderson of Illinois.
The most hopeful sign, and I've said it before, is this new attitude of accessibility to members of Congress, willingness to listen to their questions and to frame replies.
At week's end, the president was also embarking on a new program of accessibility to the public, but not before his private sessions with the legislators had sparked some controversy. There were reports denied by the White House, but surfacing again at week's end, that the president, in one or two of those meetings, had accused former Attorney General Elliot Richardson of lying when he claimed he disagreed with plans to fire Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. Richardson described himself as disturbed, puzzled, and surprised.
I feel very clear in my own mind that I've told the truth and the whole truth as I understand it. I've done this under oath. I've supported my oral testimony by furnishing to the Judiciary Committee written material that supports what I've said. I think what I've said is supported also by the testimony of Mr. Cox. And I personally think that the record clearly supports the version that I know and understand.
There was some embarrassment for the administration when a federal judge ruled that Cox had been fired illegally, but he didn't want the job back. And another judge, John Sirica, said he didn't want the authority, as provided in legislation being prepared in House and Senate, to name the new special prosecutor. Another tape turned up missing, this time the dictabelt recording of President Nixon's recounting of a conversation with John Dean, which was not itself recorded, according to the White House. But mainly the attention focused on the president and his new campaign to restore the administration's credibility. The public phase began with an appearance Thursday before the conservatively oriented National Realtors Association.
Mistakes are one thing. As far as the President of the United States is concerned, he has not violated his trust and he isn't going to violate his trust now.
The President reminding his cheering audience that he was elected to bring peace abroad and prosperity at home.
That was the job I was elected to do, and I can assure you that no matter what some of my good intentioned friends and certainly, I would say, honest opponents may suggest to the contrary, I am not going to walk away till I get that job done.
On Friday, Mr. Nixon left for Florida with more public appearances scheduled in three states. His aerial campaign, however, running up against the energy crisis atmosphere, newsmen carefully adding up the thousands of gallons of jet fuel required, the White House replying that some fuel was being saved by cutting the flight speed. Before leaving, Mr. Nixon signed the Alaskan oil pipeline bill and hinted at some relaxation of the Arab oil embargo. But he warned his listeners then and the realtors the day before that any change would come too late for this winter.
The point is, we have already lost, my friends, we have already lost 6 weeks of oil from the Mideast. Even if the thing were settled in the next 2 weeks, we would have lost 2 months. We may lose 3 months. And so the crisis is there. And that is why these extraordinary measures have been taken and why we urge your cooperation voluntarily in seeing that across this nation
We have enough light, enough transportation, enough heat, but not more than we need, so that everybody sacrifices a little, and no one then will have to suffer at all. That is the program, and I hope that you will support it.
The presidential accent was still on the voluntary, but lower officials began to talk more and more of rationing, especially when word of a possible move to impose a 30 or 40 cent a gallon tax on gasoline drew fire from both sides of the aisle in Congress, even in the midst of his House confirmation hearings, from Vice President-designate Gerald Ford.
The imposition of an extra high added gasoline tax will be discriminatory against those least able to pay. From their point of view, rationing would be a preferable alternative. Therefore, if we have the choice between those two, I would pick rationing over a substantial increase in gasoline taxes at the retail level.
Democratic Senators Mansfield and Jackson called on the administration to get the rationing machinery cranked up, even as the Senate continued debate on a rush measure authorizing rationing. Some officials, meanwhile, warned that home heating oil is an even more serious problem. Allocation orders in that area were expected in the next 3 weeks. The man who engineered the Middle Eastern agreement that gives some hope for eventual oil relief returned this week after the round-the-world trip that took him on to Peking and other points, Secretary of State Kissinger finding this country in good standing abroad.
As we look back on this trip, all of us will keep in mind that America remains, for all people who seek peace and goodwill, the hope and the inspiration. And all of us have drawn courage and even greater determination from this fact.
The standing of the Republican Party at home, however, found the Republican National Chairman, George Bush, declaring he would not be a candidate for governor of Texas in 1974.
Candidly, being governor of Texas has an enormous appeal to me. But our whole political system is under fire, and I have an overriding responsibility which compels me to remain in my present job.
Observers offered another version that no Republican stands much of a chance in the race in 1974. And a fellow Texan, John Connolly, here to defend the administration's acceptance of dairy industry contributions, said his 1976 plans could be affected if the present atmosphere prevails.
I would not in the least be interested in either trying to seek or hold public office in 1976 in an environment such as this. Because I think all you do is subject yourself, your family, your friends, anybody that might even contribute to you to investigation, to the innuendos, to implications of impropriety, wrongdoing, dishonesty, and it's just not worth it.
And finally this week, there was the tragedy that bridged partisanship. Again, it stalked the Kennedys. On the day when Senator Edward Kennedy still managed to give the hand in marriage of the eldest daughter of the late Robert Kennedy, his own 12-year-old son had to have his right leg amputated because of bone cancer. President Nixon, when he heard the news of the planned surgery, had telephoned both the boy and the senator, long his bitter critic. A spokesman said the senator was deeply touched by the president's thoughtfulness. Mr. Nixon also called on Americans to reflect on the contributions of the late President John F. Kennedy on Thanksgiving Day, which falls on the 10th anniversary of the assassination of the man who defeated him in 1960. Notes of Civility. In the midst of Watergate strains, in a Washington week produced by Ellen Wadley, I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News.